Praise God. We're so excited to have the youth here today leading the service. And it was so exciting to see in the children's message, Ryan playing football. All right, that's good. Good job. My favorite sport in high school wasn't football, it was basketball. And when I was in high school, I went to every single Phoenix Suns game that I could. My best friend's mother did the lettering for the Phoenix Suns. And so she got free season tickets. And so we would go see the Phoenix Suns. Now, I get this blank stare. Do you guys not know who the Phoenix Suns are? They were a great team. They won the Western Conference one year. And they would have won it if it hadn't been for Chicago. Charles Barkley was the player. How many of you remember Charles Barkley? One of the best basketball players of all time. Better than Michael Jordan. Actually, a friend of mine, when I worked as an engineer in Phoenix, a friend of mine, his uncle was the head coach of the Phoenix Suns. And his mother-in-law hated Charles Barkley. Thought that Charles Barkley was the worst. I mean, if you've ever heard Charles Barkley, he's just a trash-talking, no-nonsense type of basketball player. But he was really good. But she did not like Charles Barkley. She hated Charles Barkley. She said, Charles Barkley is the worst basketball player. I will never, ever, ever say anything good about Charles Barkley. Well, my friend, he said, well, why don't you come down to me and we'll watch him practice someday? And she said, well, I do like basketball, so I guess I can go do that. So she and my friend went down there and watched him do a practice, the Phoenix Suns. Well, my friend got word to Charles Barkley and said, this lady does not like you, and she thinks you're, like, horrible. So I just wanted to let you know that. Well, Charles Barkley, you know, he's kind of like a politician, right? So he's playing, you know, and he's doing his thing, and then they had a break, and he actually gets into the stand and walks up to this lady and says, hey, I haven't seen you here before. Are you new? And she said, I just got invited here to play. And he says, wow, where are you from? How you doing? He started making a conversation with this lady. And he's just trying to find everything and just putting on the biggest schmooze job he could possibly do. So then he says, well, you know, it was so good to see you. I'm glad, you know, maybe you could come back again and watch his practice and just have a great day. And he goes back down again and he starts playing basketball. And every once in a while he'd catch and he'd turn to her and he'd wave like this. And wouldn't you know it, they left that practice, and she said, I love Charles Barkley. He's got to be the best basketball player that's ever lived in my whole entire life. And she loved Charles Barkley. Now, folks, we have a technical term for that. It's called a road to Damascus experience. A road to Damascus experience, where you go in with one opinion and one view and one set of circumstances, and you come out, and it is totally changed. And that's exactly happened with the Apostle Paul before he was the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, on his road to the Damascus experience. But this week, and I don't know if you know this, but I love politics. I love following politics. This week, there was a big brouhaha in the political realm about the Bush Doctrine. And people were saying, what is the Bush Doctrine and how important is the Bush Doctrine? And I was thinking about this all week, and I was thinking to myself, you know, we talk about the road to Damascus experience, but do we really know what a road to Damascus experience is? So that's what I want to spend some time with you today. I want to go through this road to Damascus experience, and I want to answer for you what this question, the answer to this question, what is a true road to Damascus experience? What is an experience so powerful that it would take a guy like Saul, who is totally against Jesus Christ, to spending the whole entire rest of his life defending Jesus Christ. What is powerful enough to do that? What is a road to Damascus experience? Well, I think the first answer that we might come up with is that a road to Damascus experience is a complete and 100% or 180 degree turn from your current worldview. That could be the road of Damascus experience. And as a matter of fact, if you look in our text today, we find out that Saul was totally against Jesus Christ. He's in verse 1 of chapter 9, Luke writes, "Meanwhile, Saul was breathing threats, murderous threats against our Lord's disciples. He went to the high priests." He was so angry that he went to the high priests and he asked him for letters. He asked for letters that he could take to synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any Christians there, any people who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them to prisoners in Jerusalem. I mean, Paul wasn't just a guy who was against Jesus Christ. He was fanatically against Jesus Christ. He's fanatically against the way. It was totally different. And then he gets on this road to Damascus experience, and Jesus Christ appears to him. And if you look at the life of Paul, this one entire event on the road to Damascus completely changed him. He completely changed his worldview. You might say that a road to Damascus experience is just that, changing your worldview. This last week, we celebrated the 7th anniversary of 9/11. And I can tell you that for the United States, 9/11 changed our worldview. 9/11 was a road to Damascus experience. And I'm sure that there have been other instances in your life where you have come across something, whether it's pain or suffering or something that you've seen in this world, and it has completely changed your outlook in life. And you've had a road to Damascus experience. But is that the answer? Is a road to Damascus experience simply kind of changing to a different worldview? I mean, people do that all the time. Events happen, things happen, and people do change their worldview. It doesn't seem to be such a stunning thing that it would cause you to go on the path that Paul went on. So I think there's something more to it. I think there's something more. So I'd like to dig a little bit deeper. If it's not just changing your worldview, what else could it be? It might be that Paul experienced something so profound in this encounter with Jesus Christ. If you read on in this encounter, Saul loses his sight. He is completely helpless. He is blind. And he must rely on the people that are next to him to carry him to Damascus. And that must have been a very, very frightening thing to be blind. Imagine being blind, if you will, and not knowing what to do, and going through that experience, and going to Damascus, and then finding that there are Christians there that he could talk to, and that God healed him from his blindness. Maybe the road to Damascus experience is this: suffering. And getting through suffering. There are times in our life when we suffer. I remember when Keith Green was a vocalist from the 70s, and he used to have this picture on one of his albums. I think it was the Road to Egypt album, or You Want to Go Back to Egypt. And it was a picture of Keith Green holding a sheep on his shoulders. Now, there's a little bit of a backstory to that. There was this lady that went to visit a shepherd. She was doing some research on shepherding and on the Christian view of shepherding. And so she went to spend some time with the shepherd. And as she was going with the shepherd, she noticed that there was a lamb and one of his feet was broken. And she said, "Oh my goodness, what happened to this poor lamb? He's all taped up." And the shepherd said, "I did that." She said, "You did that?" He said, "This lamb was very rambunctious, and he was constantly going out into the wilderness, and that is a very dangerous place to be. And if I had to continue to let him go out into the wilderness, he would surely be killed. And so I took my rod, and I broke his leg. And now he can't go out into the wilderness. As a matter of fact, he has to rely on me for everything. I'm going to have to feed him. I'm going to have to carry him around. He is going to be by my side every step of the way until that heals." Maybe that's what a road to Damascus experience is. For Paul to go through that suffering and to know that the only place that he could turn is Jesus Christ. There's a saying that says, you never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. Maybe that's a road to Damascus experience. And yet, I wonder, because in our world today, we have several people that go through trials and tribulations and struggles, and somehow they find the strength from within to get these struggles in their life and get through them. As a matter of fact, we've got a whole industry of self-help gurus, Deepak Chopra and Oprah and Dr. Phil and all sorts of people, and they're there on the scene to help you get through these struggles in life and to find that power within. And people are able to do that, even without God. So is that what a road to Damascus experience is? I think perhaps we should dig even just a little bit deeper. Imagine, if you will, that you're Paul and you're walking on the road to Damascus and you've got in your hands letters. And you're going to take those letters to a synagogue in Damascus and you're going to say, I have authority from Jerusalem that if there's anybody that's a follower of the way, I can take them back to Jerusalem and they're going to go into prison. This is a bad sect. And you're walking into Jerusalem, or you're walking from Jerusalem into Damascus, and all of a sudden, this event happens in your life. As he neared Damascus on his journey, this is chapter 9, verse 3, as Paul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, the one that you are persecuting. Just imagine what was going through Paul's life, through Saul's life. Here he had completely had one vision in mind, and that vision was to wipe out Christianity and this persnickety Jesus guy that they said he'd risen from the dead, and all of a sudden he encounters this Jesus on the road to Damascus. What thoughts were going through his head? I mean, if you had been such an obstacle to the church, if you had sinned against the church, if you'd fought against the church, if you'd fought against something and then found out that the leader of that something stood before you and that he was the all-powerful God of the universe, what would you do? How would you feel? You'd probably put your hands up and wait for him to smote you. And yet that's not what Jesus did. Jesus said, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what to do next. Jesus could have killed Saul. He could have said, you are against me, and if you're against me, I can't have you living in this world. And he could have taken him out. But Jesus had something else inside, in store for Paul. Paul goes to Damascus, he meets other Christians, and Paul becomes one of the greatest passionate followers of Jesus Christ that's ever lived past the disciples. It's because God didn't kill him. Because God said, I know that you deserve death, but I got something better in store for you. I know that I should kill you, but you are going to be my witness, and you are going to be a powerful witness, and I'm going to use you. And folks, I would say that the road to Damascus experience isn't just that it changes your worldview. And I would say the road to Damascus experience isn't just that Jesus gets us through suffering and he does that. But I would say that the road to Damascus experience is having an encounter with Jesus Christ. Knowing that Jesus Christ can take whatever sin, whatever is in your life, and he can turn it around, and he can say, now you go to Damascus, and you be my passionate disciple. And that's exactly what Paul did. And that's exactly what happened to Trevor today in the waters of baptism, when he had his road to Damascus experience, where Jesus Christ took him, and he said, I'm going to take you, and you are going to be my disciple, and I'm going to work through you. There is no sin that can ever separate you from me. That, my friends, is a true road to Damascus experience. That's the experience that Paul had. And it took Paul from this passionate person against the way to the most passionate person, follower of Jesus Christ in the way. You know, Charles Barkley, I don't even hear about him anymore. I don't even know what he's doing. He certainly has given up basketball. I know he's not doing that anymore. And someday he will fade away from the news. And this lady that went to see Charles Barkley play, well, she'll probably lose her passion for Charles Barkley and she'll no longer talk about how wonderful he is. But there is one who you can have an encounter with, who will be with you forever in the rest of your life. And that one is Jesus Christ, who gives to each and every one of us a road to Damascus experience. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.